Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Dr. Michael Osterholm has been a guest on our show for about 15 years or so, and he's kind enough to join us on the Center Point Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. Mike, always a pleasure. Hope you are well. I know you're extraordinarily busy, so I appreciate the time. What was your view on what the governor announced yesterday broadly? And then if you could pick up in particular on elective procedures. I fully expected that yesterday he was going to announce some sort of expansion on that. He did not, but he was on with Dave Lee earlier today saying we're probably headed that way on Monday. So kind of in the broadest sense and then that specific point.
Well, first of all, let me just say that all these decisions obviously are tough ones. There's no game plan that anyone's ever had to understand a virus like this moving through a modern world and how to try to reduce its transmission. I have no doubt that we have done that through the distancing activities that have occurred, and we've made our hospitals better prepared to handle what caseload they've had to. But what you're dealing with right now is just the ongoing evidence of transmission, how much of it in the community can we, in fact, hold down, hold back. And so I think all these decisions, discussions we're having right now, it's as much art as it is science in trying to balance the risk of transmission along with the cost to society and what it means. And so I commend the governor. I you know, any one decision, anybody can second guess or make a conclusion that they were right and somebody else was wrong. But I think in the end, we're all trying to weave our way through this. And I think probably the most important message I can give you is that we're just beginning. And we've talked about that before. Our group released a report yesterday that laid out the fact that over the next 16 to 18 months, things are going to get a lot worse before they get better.
Yeah, you're adamant on that, right? I mean, that is a point from our first conversations in January about what was going on in China. And then it has come here. I know people have heard our interviews a lot. No, you've said it. But I'm still amazed that when people hear you say it now that they're stunned by it. But just amplify where you think we're at. You know, you use the baseball analogy. So you still think this is going to be a prominent part of our life through the fall of 2021?
Well, for how long, I'm not quite sure. And what I mean by that is it could be abbreviated if we do get a successful, effective vaccine. And we can use that. That'll obviously shorten it up quite a bit. Or we could just have a major barn-burning event where we see extensive transmission that could also hurry things up in terms of where this virus is at. Remember, you know, nationwide, we're somewhere probably between 5 to 15% of the population has been infected to date. That is a small number, relatively speaking, when you think about the pain, suffering, death that's occurred. To get to a point where enough people have been infected, and hopefully, and I say hopefully from the standpoint we have some data on this, but surely not enough, to say that once you are infected, you're protected against getting reinfected, at least in the short term. And it's going to take 60 to 70% of the population before there's enough people out there immune that will stop ongoing transmission, meaning infected persons just can't find somebody else readily to keep transmitting to. We're a long ways from 60 to 70% of the population getting infected. Somehow we will get there from this 5 to 15% to 60 to 70%, whether it's through vaccine or through disease. Think of this virus and how it moves through people akin to what physical gravity does. You can count on it. It's going to happen every time. And a virus like this is not going to be slowed down short of major distancing issues. It's just going to keep marching and marching and marching. And so this is where we talk about we're going to deal with this virus one way or the other. We have to just figure out how we want to deal with it and what that means for society.
So let's talk about what Dr. Fauci said yesterday, because you've alluded to vaccines a couple times. Dr. Fauci, your friend and a man who's respected by so many people right now, said it is possible that we will have a vaccine available by next January. Now, that's still a long time away. And sadly, a number of people are still going to die, and a number of people are going to get the test positive. Knowing how vaccines have worked, how the process has worked over decades, does, to you, January seem realistic?
Well, you know, one of the things that there are probably a few of your listeners that wouldn't agree with this, but I have tried all my career not to get too far ahead of my headlights. You know, don't get over my skis too far. But say what I know and what I don't know. And I do know that the vaccine issue is going to be the most critical part of our ability to control this virus. Having said that, and believing that we surely can get a vaccine that will provide some short-term protection, meaning potentially for months, we don't know yet if we can find a vaccine for long-term protection or one that is in the level of safety that we'd want to have it. So I think what Tony said is aspirational, and I surely understand exactly where he's coming from. And if everything all works, it's kind of A plus B plus C plus D just right now, then I think that's really a possibility. I don't at this point believe we could manufacture it and get it into people. One of the challenges we're going to have is all 8 billion people on the face of the earth want this vaccine right now. They all do. Yeah. And so the challenge we have is, what if it's China that first discovers the effective vaccine, if there is one, and are they going to give it to the United States or any other country? How are they going to handle manufacturing and distribution of their own population? We've not worked out any of those features yet. So even if you have a vaccine, don't assume that that means it's in people's arms. And so one of the things we're working on right now, literally our center, is trying to develop a worldwide consensus on how we would actually use these vaccines, and making sure that every dose that comes off a vaccine manufacturing machine is immediately used by an individual somewhere in the world, including ourselves here in the U.S. So to summarize it, I would say aspirationally, I could only dream that January would give us a safe and effective vaccine. Realistically, I don't think that's going to happen.
Dr. Michael Osterholm is with us. He's with us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. So Remdesivir made a lot of news this week. And again, Dr. Fauci talked about it's very promising in lessening the impact of COVID-19 for some individuals. We had on a doctor yesterday from Hennepin Healthcare, and he talked about the work they've been doing. He said, in his opinion, Mike, it wouldn't shock him if this was available for citizens of the country in the next couple of weeks. What is your view on this drug, what we know about it, and how soon it might be out there?
You know, again, this is just referring back to my previous comment about not getting too far ahead of my headlights here. What no one talked about yesterday was when the study first came out, or this report from the NIH about this, was that the very same day or paper was published in The Lancet from Chinese researchers using a double-blind placebo-controlled trial, meaning some of the people got the drug, some got just a placebo, and no one knew which one it was which to look at the outcome. And in that study, they found no benefit. Now, they surely used a population of more severely ill people than were in the original NIH study. What this all tells me is that we all want this to work. Oh, my God, we want this to work. We want it to have some impact. Even if it's not going to be the cure, but it may mean that more people will live and more people will get out of intensive care sooner. But I think we also have to be extremely cautious that we don't let our hopes get in front of what the data tell us. And so, you know, I hope that this works in a way that it might appear to be working in just this one limited study. But I think it's too early yet. There are studies that will give us data. Within the next few weeks, in fact, I think that will give us a much clearer idea of what the real positive impact of this drug is, how much will it really benefit. So I reserve judgment on this until we get more data so that we can say with some definition, this really is going to work and not.
You cite this study out of China, and clearly you have a number of billion scientists and doctors throughout the world, including China. we now have so many people who are so skeptical, and for some valid reasons, about what the Chinese government and what other people were telling us or not telling us about COVID-19 and the effect that may have had on the impact in our country. How do you try to determine when you're looking at studies, including in China in particular, and trying to determine what is credible when information is coming out of clinics from China itself?
Well, first of all, let's just take a step back here and just try to separate out rhetoric from fact. As you know, our center declared on January 20th that this was going to be a worldwide pandemic.
Yep. And it was right around when we first started talking about this, yeah.
Exactly. And we had adequate data from China. I didn't have any problems with corrupted data or incomplete data. You know, in the fog of an early battle, any kind, things are sometimes confusing. Now, did China possibly for a week or two hold back information? They may have. I'm not sure what a lot of other countries would have done. I'm not trying to defend China. I'm merely pointing out, though, that, you know, now to make up that somehow the rest of the world failed because China failed, I think is not the case. If we, as a little center at a place in the Midwest of the United States, could conclude certainly that this was going to cause a pandemic and how it would unfold on January 20th, I don't know how the U.S. government couldn't have also done the same thing. So I think that we have to be very careful about making assumptions about what some people project to have happened or didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, I have not seen the serious challenges or problems that China withheld information that would have made a substantive difference. You know, I've said this before. 3M has kindly permitted me to say this on January 20th, you know, in meeting with 3M leaders, told them this was going to happen. They proceeded at that point to begin manufacturing full steam ahead, 100% production N95 respirators, which I think, you know, gave them weeks a head start on what happened here in the United States in terms of need, and I think clearly saved human lives by having these available. Didn't mean we couldn't get started on doing similar things here in this country. Whether our government did them or not, that'll one day we'll decide, you know, as we go back and look at this. So I just think the facts have to speak for themselves. So relative to the Chinese issue, I didn't feel we were held back. In terms of the science, I don't think anyone's raised any questions about the science at all. And in fact, I think that they've provided us a great deal of information that we can use today. And I think the science information out of China has not been challenged, to my knowledge, by anyone in terms of the completeness of it and so forth and what's been published.
Stay well, sir. Use the weekend to get away from this just for a little bit, and we'll talk next week.
I wish we are just getting in the middle of here. We're trying to ramp up. You know, one of the things we need to have, Chad, is a really important discussion about how we live with this virus. You know, I think we're seeing more and more concerns about that.
Absolutely. Let's make that a huge part of when we talk next week. That'd be
great.
Thank you.
See you later. Thank you. Yeah.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.